Let us all pray for Jeremy as he comes to bring us God's message. Lord, help us to hear and help Jeremy to be using the words that you have given him, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That was the core text in that first gospel reading. There are many people in this community, in this world today, who don't have our faith, who don't have Jesus to help them through the challenges that they face in life. And for many other people, the only way they're going to meet Jesus is through you. And that is what this is all about this morning. It's not just about a season of invitation. It's about a complete lifestyle of invitation. We've really got to get our heads around that it's our responsibility to share Jesus with the people that we know and love and the people in our community. And there's real power in an invitation. If you actually speak to somebody and say, would you like to come to this? It shows you've thought about them. It shows that you care about them. It shows that you want them to be part of your life. So people respond to invitations in a way that they don't respond to a leaflet to the door, a general request to come. So that's our 2020 vision. And some of you were here when Peter drove his Harley Davidson down the middle of church. And if we want to be a motorbike mission-orientated church, then we have got to step up. We've got to have a bit of courage. We've got to get onto that motorbike. We've got to start driving it. Those mission statements are very clear in terms of what we're aiming to do. But there's a lot of work to get ourselves to the point where we're doing that. And I hope to both encourage you this morning as well as show you some of the way that we're going to move forward in this way. So there was some extensive search done in 2015 by the Church of England and a load of other churches and the Evangelical Alliance around what people understood about Christianity. And a number of church leaders met in Windermere and they set these benchmarks for how they were going to work towards 2050 in terms of the impact they wanted to have. And it's quite interesting to think about how these might reflect in our community. So the number of people that know who Jesus is, that's one benchmark. The number of non-Christians in England who know a Christian. The number of who had a positive conversation with a Christian. And ultimately, the percentage of the UK who are practicing Christians. We're now going to see a short video, which basically is a summary of the research. I think it just helps us to understand the context and perhaps remove some of the myths around our community and the people that we're talking to. David, can we play the video now?
What do people outside our churches know about Jesus? Have they ever had a conversation with a practicing Christian about Jesus? Answers to questions like these could really help us share the most amazing news. The love of God for all of us through Jesus. So we asked. And here's what people, your friends and neighbours, said. 57% said they're a Christian. 9% are active Christians. They regularly go to church, pray and read the Bible. Useful starting place. But what do they actually know about Jesus? 21% think he's God, while 30% think he's a spiritual leader or prophet. But only 60% think he was an actual, real, historical person. Our job here is clear. Let's make sure everyone gets to hear that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth and that he claimed he was God. How are we going to do this? Well, 67% said they know one of us, an active follower of Jesus, and we're most likely to be their family and friends. But have we ever spoken to them about Jesus? 58% of those who know us have had a conversation about Jesus with us. Now that's a great start. But what do they think about Jesus after that conversation? 1 in 5 are open to knowing and experiencing more about him. That's 1 in 5 of your friends and family members, the people you know really well, who are waiting for you to talk about Jesus with them. And we found out that talking to someone who knows Jesus was really important in helping 36% of us decide to follow Jesus for ourselves. So let's talk Jesus.
Thanks, David. Back to the slide. So I'm just going to look at those numbers, because there's quite a lot of numbers in there, isn't there? And just explore some of them. And I hope this will encourage you and help you understand the context in which we're operating, really. So 57% of people say they are a Christian. That's a lot of people, I think. 60% of the people we talk to already think they're Christian. The issue is that only 9% of them are actually active. So there's a real opportunity, those people who think they're Christians, to encourage them to become active and possibly recommit, which is one of the things we do when we're on the streets. 21% already think Jesus is God. 30% think he was a spiritual leader or prophet, and that would include all the Muslims. 60% think he was a real historical person, which I guess aligns fortunately with those who think they're Christians. I think that's actually quite a good figure. So, you know, when you're out in the street, 60% of the people you talk to already think Jesus was a historical figure. So that's good. But there's 40% of people who obviously don't believe that. So I think that is quite encouraging in terms of the people of the UK, if you like. What else? So 67% of people know an active Christian. So almost 70% of the people in the UK, and this is based on one of those surveys of 2,500 people across the UK of all demographics, 67% of people know an active Christian. So if the active Christians get on with it, there's a real opportunity, isn't there? 58% of those that know us have had a conversation with us about Jesus. So I'm encouraged by that. That means that 60% of us are sharing Jesus. And I know many of you are. And that's tremendous. And that's a real encouragement. And that's great. We just need to work on that and do more of that. And then this really important thing, 1 in 5 are open to knowing more about Jesus. And I'll talk a bit more about this in a minute. But 1 in 5 are ready to hear from you about Jesus. They just need you to speak about Jesus, okay? And then importantly, this was based on a survey of 1,500 Christians. 36% I'll say that conversation with a friend was an important part of us becoming a Christian. So we know that conversation, our own experience tells us those conversations are really important. So I'll be referring to this book in some of the rest of the sermon. Mission-Shaped Grace by John McKinley. Really excellent book. I went to a whole seminar series at New Wine, the first time I've done that, run by him. And it's really practical and really helpful. He's a Church of England vicar in Leicester, and he talks about his experience over 7 years of taking his church on this journey of Mission-Shaped Grace. So, based on our passage in Luke, there's a 6 or 7 points he wants to make about how we need to be in terms of reaching out into the community and being mission focused. The first thing is being hopeful. And in our passage, we talked about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So in Leicester, they went to 1,500 houses, knocked on the doors, and offered to pray for people. Of those 1,500 houses, how many people do you think, what number were prepared to be prayed for? What do you think? Shout out. 500? Any change in that? 1,000? 500 is correct. Well done, Michael. So 500 of people were prepared to be prayed for. And some people broke down in tears. They said, that's the first time anyone's ever offered to pray with me. And they saw real fruit of people coming into the church as a result of that outreach. So the harvest is plentiful. We've heard 20% of the people that you know want to know more about Jesus. They just need you to share them, Jesus with them. So the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Most of us are not prepared to take that extra step. But I also think that we've had all this knowledge about why we should do it. We know we want to do it, but we don't know how. And I really feel no one's given us the skills to do it. And that's something we need to work on over the next 12 months. There's an opportunity next Saturday, as you heard from Sue, to get some training in how to share the gospel. Take that opportunity. Do take it. And we'll help people over the next 12 months in some of these skills of sharing our faith, because I think that's one of the biggest blocks. So, vulnerable. Sue asked you if you were nervous about going out. We feel vulnerable, really vulnerable, don't we? And when we introduce Jesus to people in a conversation at work or with a friend, we expose ourselves, don't we? We give up something that's deep to us. And that's really difficult to do. And we think that's a bad thing, but it's not, because people respect your vulnerability. They respect the fact that you're prepared to share something that's deep about you. I don't think I've had hardly any negative experiences, which is surprising, when I've shared my faith, which seems really weird actually. But most times people are really receptive and prepared to listen. If they're not interested, it's not a nasty conversation. And the same is on the streets. We had very few people, in fact, nobody who was rude, people who said no thanks and were too busy, etc., but nobody who was nasty. So there's that vulnerability, and that's what Jesus was getting at in terms of telling them that they couldn't be equipped for it and take all the gear that they need. They had to make themselves vulnerable to the people that they were going to. They had to get food from them, they had to get accommodation. So we are called to be vulnerable and get out of our comfort zone in terms of reaching out. Fear. That's a big reason we don't do it, isn't it? Fear of breaking that relationship. We think if we're strategic about telling Jesus to people, that it's kind of a bit manipulative. If we're thinking about how can I share Jesus and bring people, this person, to God, we think being strategic about it, it feels almost manipulative. Do you know what I mean? But it's not. It's just having a plan for how we want to bring people into the most important relationship they can have. So we just got to get that out of our head in terms of I'm manipulating if I'm thinking about it. You're not. You're just being strategic about sharing the most important thing and part of your life. Fear. False expectations appearing real is the acronym. And this is because a lot of the things that we fear are actually incorrect. They're not actually going to happen. And we allow those fears to stop us sharing our faith. So when you think about all the reasons that you've already come up with why you can't come on Saturday morning and it's not your thing to go out in the precinct, just think about all those different things and whether they're real and what is driving that. The same for the more important job of sharing with friends, family, people at work. What is that fear that's stopping you doing that? And is it actually false? When you look at those statistics, 60% of people already think they're Christians, so why would they worry about you sharing your faith with them? Available, being sent. Verse 3. Go, I am sending you, says Jesus. So Jesus sent his 12 disciples, then he sent the 72 disciples. He used a similar model with each one. And now he's sent the church as a whole. But we have tended to use an approach of come to church and meet Jesus. Now that is important, and we're going to do some of that. But there are people who won't respond to that. And in order for them to come, we've got to go to them and invite them in the first place. But there is a danger that instead of going to people in our workplace, going to people in our friends and family, going into people in the community, we say, well, here we are, we're a church. Why don't you come along, see what we do? People are more likely to respond to you, actually, if you want to share Jesus with them and tell them about your relationship with God, than they are to come to church, certainly if they're unchurched. Seeking to bless. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. So we are seeking to bless people. We're not doing this to embarrass them. We're not doing this to force them into something. We're not doing this to impose our view. We're giving them the opportunity to meet Jesus, which is the greatest blessing that they can have. And John suggests that we look for people of peace. And that's, I think, the 1 in 5 of people that we know that want to hear more about Jesus. And it's finding those people who are open. What is the definition of that person? Well, that person is somebody that you've already shared some of your faith with and has been receptive and is open. And there is your opportunity to take the next step. What is that next step with that person? Is it sharing your testimony? Is it sharing what God's done with you? Is it inviting them to church? What is the next step? But those people who are not interested, you don't have to keep trying to share with them. You know, you don't have to keep on feeling a burden for those. Continue to pray for them, but focus on those people of peace who are open, ready for the next step with Jesus. Demonstrating the kingdom. When you enter town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal those that are ill. I've talked before about 60% of people on the streets will let you pray with them. And we need to build our own confidence in praying for people. Firstly, in our home groups, in our church situations, and then on the street, so that people, we can pray for people. And we need to pray for people to be healed. God does heal. We've seen great testimonies of that. And sometimes he'll do it in the street because it's powerful. A lot of the miracles in the New Testament, they were all done in, most of them were done in public, weren't they? People saw what was done. And that's very powerful if we're prepared to do that. And proclaiming the kingdom. Jesus said, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. There is this alleged quote of St. Francis of Assisi, which is, share the gospel and if necessary, use words. That is wrong. Number one, St. Francis of Assisi never said that. Okay. Number two, it is not consistent with the gospel. It's very clear from the Great Commission, from that quote, that we have to tell people about the kingdom of God. And there is a danger in churches that we become social workers. We do loads of good stuff, but nobody ever knows why we're doing it. And we never actually share the gospel with people. We are responsible for proclaiming the kingdom. We need to be telling people about Jesus. And finally, joyful. So the 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they were really surprised how successful they were. Brilliant. God, Lord, it actually worked. And that was the experience of going out in the street. So I was terrified when I first did it. I thought, I'm pretty confident. You all probably think, well, Jeremy's okay. He's pretty confident. I did not want to do it. And when I went out, I found it much, much more difficult than I expected. Second time round, much, much easier. Okay, so we've all got to get through that moment. But I thought, great, I'm actually praying for people and I haven't been sworn at. And just more practically in terms of people at work, I've had the opportunity to pray for people at work. And wow, doesn't it make you feel strong in your faith when you've had the opportunity to pray for somebody and they've been positive and receptive. So some immediate actions and opportunities. You've heard about the turning on Saturday. There's worship at 7 o'clock, so I'll be taking a carload, I hope. So if you'd like a lift with me, please let me know. We've got to be at the gate for 7 o'clock, and that's a really good time to worship and connect with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And then the training starts at 10 o'clock here, and then we go out into the precinct for about 45 minutes. It's not a long stretch. And then we come back here and share what God's been doing. And this is the one date that we've got secured, so I'd really like you to take the opportunity to join us for that. At the same, before that is the men's breakfast, and Jeremy and I and Merrick have been talking about how the men's breakfast can begin to be more invitational, and I'm hoping that some of the men's breakfast will come from the back of the church and come to the front of the church for the invitation bit. And the turning. And then Harvest Service is an all-age service, 24th I think it is, that Liz is putting, Linda is putting together. I mean, that's all you're going to remember of this sermon now, isn't it? Right, so Harvest Service, we want to have the opportunity to encourage you to invite people to that service. Now, we're going to have some invitations that you can use next week for doing that. But this is a fundamental question, isn't it? You know, are you prepared to invite people to this service? Are you prepared to invite people to St. James? If not, why not? And that's a big question for all of us. Are you prepared to invite people here? If not, why not? And what would we need to do differently to make you prepared to invite people here? And of course, there's the harvest meal, which would be a less difficult thing to invite people to. So you've got the invitations already for that. Is there somebody who would come to that? All about different cultures, different food, people who like dressing up, or not, as the case may be, like me. Again, a reminder, identify people of peace, you know, people who are receptive, who are open to the opportunity. But it means we've got to look at everything. This season or this lifestyle of invitation means we're looking at everything differently. What does it mean to actually be enable people to come to church, to feel that they can come here and be invited to it? I'm almost at the end. So just making the point again about turning knowledge into behaviours, that I think in the church we've been teaching about this, we know why we should do it, but no one has given us the skills to actually go and do it. Now at New Wine I got trained in some of those skills, really simple stuff, but I feel much more confident about sharing my testimony than I've ever been, and much more confident in sharing the gospel with people than I've ever been. And it's not difficult to do. So I want to offer you guys over the next 12 months the opportunity to get those skills, because I think that will really help. And just coming back to our Harley Davidson, which I will continue to repeat over the next 12 months, we need to step up to this opportunity. And your role, I think, in terms of contributing to the profile, contributing to the recruitment process for the new vicar, is to demonstrate how much we're up for this church growing. Because if you want a really great vicar who's going to be part of taking us forward, then he's going to want a congregation who are not sitting on the backsides but are really prepared to get out and grow and be disciples and reach out into the community. It's such an opportunity. It's so exciting. So do come on board, folks. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share Jesus with our friends, our relatives, the community. Lord, give us the courage to see where those opportunities are and to step out in faith. Amen. Just two messages from this morning in terms of words of knowledge. One was about crumbs of cake. And if you pick up the crumb of cake and eat it, it's really tasty and you want more of the cake. So the crumb is that first opportunity, I think, of reaching and sharing Jesus. And maybe it's Saturday morning or maybe it's something different. But if you just have a go, you'll be amazed how sweet it tastes and what an encouragement it can be. So if that speaks to you, take that one. And there was one other. Yes, getting on our knees. So prayer is absolutely vital to this. Now, Margaret is my prayer warrior for supporting our outreach into the community. She's not around on Saturday. So we want some people to be praying. So if you are prepared to pray for us and actually physically be here praying, then that's an option. Please come to us. During communion, there is an opportunity to be prayed for at the back and also at the end of the service if you want just to be encouraged and have the courage to reach out. Thank you.